I hope y'all are ready this morning. I have been wanting to preach this text for years now. I was praying this week and the Holy Spirit finally said, do it. So the title of my sermon this morning is, Can These Bones Live? And we're going to be exploring Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. But church, I want to begin this morning with a question. And it is a question that God once posed to the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, can these bones live? See, this just isn't a poetic line. It's not a mere metaphor. It is a holy confrontation and a spiritual gut check. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all can do a whole lot better than that. Let me rephrase it this way. Can this church live? Not just exist, not just gather, and not just show up and then leave, but live fully awake to our purpose, burning with holy fire and alive with the breath of God. And in our text today, when God showed Ezekiel this vision, he didn't take him to the mountaintop of victory. He didn't show him a temple full of worshipers. He took him to a valley. And that valley was full of bones, dry and scattered and long dead. Not the aftermath of a recent battle, but a forgotten graveyard. A place where hope and had decayed and turned into dust. And sometimes, now hear me, church, sometimes the most loving thing God can do is to show us the truth that we've been avoiding. Amen?
Amen.
See, the Spirit of God didn't give Ezekiel a vision of what could be. He gave him a vision of what was. And I believe God is doing the same thing with us today. Calling us to look at ourselves not with polished filters, but with clarity. Yes, we know how to come to church, but are we truly being the church? Are we vessels of the Spirit breathing life into our families, our neighborhoods, and the city of Norfolk? Are we just going through the motions? Bones in a valley, singing songs with no breath behind them. Have we truly received the life-giving wind of the Spirit? Or today, are we still lying dormant, waiting for somebody else to breathe? Church, this is more than a vision to study. It is a call to respond. Because the voice of God still asks, can these bones live? Turn with me now to Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to start in verse 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. See, God didn't just give Ezekiel a glimpse. He gave him a tour. Not a passing glance, but a divine inspection. He caused him to walk around and take in every angle of the valley, to feel the weight, to see the despair and hear the silence of death. Step by step, Ezekiel is made to confront the full scope of the reality of the valley. This wasn't the aftermath of a recent tragedy. It was ancient abandonment. This was a graveyard and not a battlefield. No flesh, no marrow, no memory of life. Just brittle remains of what had been. See, these bones weren't just dead. They were completely forgotten. And church, that's a word for us today. Because some churches, some believers aren't dying, they're already dead. They've gotten so used to the silence that they call it peace. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. We've learned the form, we know the flow, and we've scheduled the Spirit to a simple 75 minutes on Sunday. We've mastered how to do church, but have we forgotten how to be the church? We've perfected programming and abandoned power. We sing about the resurrection on Sunday, and then we live like spiritual corpses on Monday. We speak of the Holy Spirit, but then we resist the surrender He requires. We cry, revive us! But we won't let go of the things that are killing us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 tells us this. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the princes of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So church, this isn't just about culture. This is about condition. And we need to stop covering our dryness with spiritual cliches. Amen? Let's stop calling revival what's simply routine. Let's stop calling performance worship when God never breathed on it. Church, it's time for us to be honest, to call it what it is, to say, God, I've got bones in my soul and they are very, very dry. Hear me. God does not reveal the valley to condemn us. He reveals the valley to call us back to life. Amen? Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7b. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful promise. Amen? Amen. God calls for His people to return. Not to return to a system, not to return to a style, but to return to Him, to intimacy, to holiness, and to His breath. Before the wind comes, there must be truth. Amen? Before there is revival, there must be repentance. Before resurrection, there must be recognition. The bones are dry, but God is not done with His people yet. And in His wisdom, He doesn't leave us in our despair. Oh, hallelujah. In the very midst of the valley, He asks a question that echoes through time, resonating not just for Ezekiel, but for us as well. It's a question that goes beyond intellectual understanding, and it presses our heart toward a deeper belief. The question He asked Ezekiel is the same question He asked us today. Can these bones live? Ezekiel 37:3. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, You know. God's not asking for information. He was calling forth imagination. He wasn't testing Ezekiel's intellect. He was stretching Ezekiel's faith. Pushing him past what his eyes could see and into what only heaven could declare. Son of man, can these bones live? It's more than a question. It is a divine confrontation, a holy interruption. And this is the kind of question that doesn't just echo in the valley. It echoes in every heart that's ever looked around and thought, is there still hope? Can this marriage be restored? Can this church live again? Can my calling be resurrected? Can this generation growing in apathy and confusion be filled with holy fire? God wasn't inviting Ezekiel to analyze the bones. He was inviting him to believe beyond them. Amen? Because revival never starts with a plan. It starts with a vision. And vision requires the kind of faith that doesn't see what is, but declares what can be. Jeremiah 32, 27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And the answer to that question is no, Lord. See, that answer is not just a theory. That answer is a testimony, because there is nothing too hard for the God that we serve. Amen? Matthew 19, 26b says, "But with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Oh, hallelujah. And Ezekiel answers with the wisdom of a prophet who had seen enough to know his limits. His response was, "Oh Lord God, you know." His answer here is not a cop-out, and it's not just a shrug. His answer is surrender. It's recognition, and it is a yielding to the one who holds the keys to life, breath, and time. See, Ezekiel, he didn't deny the hopelessness of the situation, but he also refuses to deny the possibility of God's power. Because sometimes the most powerful faith is not shouting what we know, but it is trusting in what God knows. And that right there is where revival begins. Not in our own strength, not in our certainty, but in our surrender to the one who speaks life into death and calls dry bones to rise. Revival doesn't begin when we figure it all out. Revival begins when we say, "God, only you know." Both faith that surrenders must be faith that speaks. Because once God asks the question, he gives the command. Ezekiel 37, verses 4 through 6. "Again, he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" God doesn't say, "Wait until you see life, then speak." He says, "Speak first. Believe in him first." God is still calling for his people to speak to what is dead, to speak into what looks hopeless. God doesn't call us to wait for change. He calls us to faithfully speak his word into the places that need to hear it. Revival doesn't wait for signs to appear. It begins with the voice of faith that calls it forth. See, this was more than a prophetic moment for Ezekiel. It is also a charge to the church today. Don't just mourn the bones. Speak life to them. Don't just criticize the culture. Call it to life. Don't just describe the darkness. Declare the light. We don't need more opinions. We need voices consecrated in the world, prophetic, bold, and full of faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God isn't meant to entertain. The word of God is meant to pierce the soul. It doesn't merely inspire, it empowers and transforms. And when spoken in obedience and faith, it brings dead things back to life. Amen. Because the Word of God doesn't wait on results to be effective, it creates them. And the church today still carries that prophetic call to proclaim the truth, not just from the pulpits, but from the classrooms, the boardrooms, the kitchens, and the street corners. To speak not just words, but to live lives embodied by the gospel. You are the voice in the valley, and the valley is waiting. Speak life over your family. Speak healing into those broken places. Speak hope into your neighborhood. Speak truth into your own weary soul. Speak not from emotion, but from revelation. Because when the Word is released, it brings alignment. And when the Spirit is released, it ignites the soul. So don't just stay silent in the valley. Don't seal your lips when God has filled them with holy fire. The bones won't live until someone speaks, and God is still looking for a voice. Ezekiel 37, verse 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and a sudden rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. As Ezekiel, he obeys this command, and something begins to happen. There's a noise, there's a sound, there's a rattling. Not just background ambience. This is a holy disturbance. Because when the Word of God is released into those dry places, it doesn't leave things as they are. It shakes, it stirs, and it shifts. Amen? It calls what has been scattered to come back together. And yes, church, I know, shaking is never comfortable. Because it disturbs what we've been trying to keep in order. It unsettles what we've dressed in religious routine. It confronts what we've built in our own name and by our own strength. But make no mistake, shaking is the evidence that God is moving. When prophecy hits dry bones, they don't stay still. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Church, God doesn't shake us to destroy us. He shakes us to awaken us, to realign us, and to make space for His glory to dwell in us. But here's the tension. We want revival, but we don't want the valley to quake. We long for new life, but we avoid the mess it takes to get there. You cannot have revival without shaking. Amen? And you cannot have order without first confronting the chaos. You cannot have fire without letting God first break the mold. Revival, it shakes the status quo. It tears down lifeless routines and it exposes dead structures. It disorients the systems we've leaned on so we might lean fully on God. But the sobering truth is, after all this shaking, after all the bones have now come together, after the sinews and the skin and the flesh appear, there is still no breath. The form is there, but the fire is not. The body is assembled, but the spirit is absent. And this is the danger of form without fullness, of structure without spirit, of performance without presence. Psalm 127:1 tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Church, we can gather the bones, we can run the services, we can launch programs and still miss the breath of God. We can build something that looks alive and still be in a valley of dry bones, dressed up in spiritual skin. Because only the Spirit brings life. And only the breath brings movement, meaning, and divine momentum. So if you're hearing the rattling, if you feel the shaking in your spirit, in your home, in your church, do not retreat, but lean in. Let the shaking expose what still needs breath. Let it draw your eyes to the places that still need God's word. Because the shaking is not the end, it is the setup for the wind. The bones may have come together, and the structure may have been restored, but the work is not yet complete. Because there's something essential that is still missing, and that is the breath. The shaking alone isn't enough. It is the breath of God, the Spirit, that will turn this lifeless form into a living being. Ezekiel 37:9. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they might live. So the bones, they've come together, the structure has taken shape, the noise has filled the valley, but God is not satisfied with noise. And he is not impressed by movement without meaning. He's not finished with mere formation. He is calling for fullness. Because a body without breath is still a corpse. We need more than noise. We need life. More than movement, we need power. More than programs, we need the Holy Spirit. The Word forms the body, but the Spirit fills it. The Word assembles, but the wind or the breath activates. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6b. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. See, this isn't about how dynamic the preacher is or how perfect the production looks or how well we've planned the program. This isn't about might. This isn't about machinery. This is about the breath of God. It is about the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verse 22b. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The breath isn't just a metaphor, it is the essential power of God that brings the dead back to life. The breath revives dreams that have withered. It restores callings that have been buried under disappointment, and it rebuilds hearts that have grown cold and cynical. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 tells us, do not quench the Spirit. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18b commands us, but be filled with the Spirit. Church, have we quenched the Spirit of God with our busyness? Have we filled our lungs with routine while starving our souls of revival? If so, it is time to open the windows. It is time to cry out again, breathe on us, Lord. Breathe on our preaching, breathe on our praying, breathe on our parenting, breathe on our brokenness. Breathe on our pride, fear, and fatigue. Breathe on what is dry, breathe on what is dying, and breathe on what is pretending to be alive. Because where the Spirit breathes, life explodes. Dead dreams awaken, silent mouths prophesy, wounded worshipers rise in strength, dry bones march as a mighty army. So let us not just settle for shaking. Let us not stop at structure. Let us call for the wind, call for the fire, call for the breath. Let it be the desperate cry of the church again, breathe on us, Lord, and we shall live. When God's breath fills the valley, the dead live again. Not just to exist, but to stand. Not just to sit idly, but to rise up as an army. Church, the purpose of revival isn't comfort, it's combat. Amen? It's not just about a crowd, it's about a calling. We aren't simply revived for ourselves, we are revived for a mission. We are called to stand, to fight, and to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as the breath fills our lungs, it prepares us to rise, not just as individuals, but as a mighty army. So let us look at what it means for us today, what it means to be a people raised for battle. Ezekiel 37:10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. What a sight it must have been to behold. But we see that God, he didn't raise a crowd, he didn't assemble a choir or gather spectators, he raised an army. So that valley wasn't a stage for inspiration, it was a battlefield for activation. This wasn't revival for comfort. This was resurrection for combat. Because God doesn't just breathe life into bones so they can simply sit in a pew. He breathes so they can stand on their feet and to take ground. Church, the church was never meant to be a cruise ship. It has always been called to be a battleship. We were never meant just to float along. We were called to fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. A revived church isn't a passive church. A revived church is dangerous. Because it doesn't hide in the shadows, it pushes back the darkness. It doesn't apologize for the truth. Instead, it proclaims it with power. It doesn't retreat in fear, it advances with fire. What once was a silent valley of death now echoes with the sound of marching boots. What once was forgotten is now formed for war. Because God doesn't just restore breath, he restores boldness. Not just worship, but warfare. Not just life, but assignment. And this is what the Spirit is after. Not just raised hands in a service, but warriors in the world. Not just Sundays filled with singing, but with weeks filled with spiritual resistance. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life, or give you light. So church, this is our wake-up call. This is not a time to slumber. It is not a time to spectate And it is not a time to blend in. It is time to stand up, to armor up, and to step out. Because the church is not a brand. It is not a building. The church is the blood-bought battalion of the living God. We are saved for this hour. We were filled for this fight, and we are called for this cause. So let the slain rise, let the sleepers wake, and let the silent roar. The army is rising, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen?
Amen.
But even as we rise, we might be tempted to lose sight of hope. It's easy in the midst of battle to feel as though things will never change, that the situation is hopeless. But praise the Lord, God speaks into our hopelessness. God speaks into the dry places and reveals the truth. Hope is never lost with Him. The same God who raised the army in the valley is the same God who speaks to us today, calling us out of our graves and into new life. So let us move forward from the rising of the army to the revelation of hope. The assurance that with God there is always hope for revival. Ezekiel 37:11. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.'" This isn't just a word for ancient Israel. It's a mirror for every soul who's ever whispered in the dark, "It's too late for me." It's for the pastor preaching to empty seats and heavier hearts. It's for the parent praying through tears for a wandering child. It's for the believer who walks into church with a smile but sits in silence thinking, "My hope is gone, my joy is buried, and my faith feels cut off." And maybe that's you this morning. You've stopped expecting God to move. You've stopped praying with fire. You've accepted spiritual dryness as normal, and you started calling dead things permanent. But the God of the valley is still the God of resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't ignore your despair. He invades it. He walks into the graveyard of your soul and he says, "I am not finished." Verse 12. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord." This is not sentiment. This is supernatural. This isn't simply poetry. This is power. The same God who called Lazarus by name, the same Jesus who silenced the tomb, the same Spirit that rolled back the stone, He still speaks, He still breathes, and He still resurrects.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 11. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Oh, hallelujah! You, church, are not stuck. You are not forgotten, and you are not cut off. If the grave couldn't hold Jesus, then hopelessness doesn't hold you. The same Spirit that raised Christ, it lives in you. Not just to comfort you, but to resurrect you. Not just to inspire, but to ignite. So to every dry place, hope is calling. To every spirit that is broken, life is coming. To every buried dream, resurrection is here. Let the grave hear His voice. Let the silence be broken. Let hope rise. Because when God speaks to the bones, they live. So now as we come to the closing of this sermon, the question still remains, can these bones live? The answer to that question is not based on what we see with our natural eyes. The answer to that question is based on what we believe in faith. We must not look at the circumstances, but we must look at God who is able to raise the dead to life. God's power is not limited to yesterday. It is available right now. Amen? The time has come to rise, to stand, to believe, and to act. The question is no longer just a rhetorical one. It is a call to action. Will we rise? The choice is ours and the time is now. Can broken hearts be healed? Can dead churches burn again with holy fire? Can weary saints rise from spiritual slumber? This wasn't just a question for Ezekiel. It is a summons for us. A call ringing across the valley of dry bones. A challenge to faith and not to possibility. Because when God speaks, the valley shakes. When God breathes, the grave lets go. When God moves, what was dead can't stay dead. This is not a message for the past. This is a mandate for today. The church doesn't need another performance. It needs people who will stand in the valley and say, I am dry, but I still believe you breathe. I'm tired, but I still believe you can raise me. I am surrounded by death, but I still believe you are the resurrection. Church, you know where you are today. There is no altar call, no emotional music that can hide the truth from your very own soul. Maybe your fire has flickered. Maybe you've been building without breath, a structure without spirit. Maybe you're present in the room, but missing the fight. But today, don't fake it. Face it. God doesn't reveal dry bones to shame you. He reveals them to revive you. So here's the invitation. Come. Not to impress, not to perform, but to receive. To exchange the breathlessness of religion for the wind of revival. Come to the altar if you're tired. Come if your heart has grown cold. Come if you're done pretending. Come if you're hungry for more. And today, if you've never surrendered to Jesus, now is the time. If you've wandered, now is the time to come home. If you're desperate to burn again with the holy fire, then today is the day to step forward. This isn't about hype, it's about hunger. Not emotion, but obedience. Not yesterday's failure, but today's invitation. The breath is blowing, the bones are rattling, the army is rising, and the time is now. So rise and stand. Live in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And in a moment, as we stand, reflect on what God has revealed to us today. Let us respond to His call. This is not a message simply to be heard, but it is a message to be lived. So let us pray together, not just with our lips, but with our hearts full of faith, ready to see the valley filled with life. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in awe of your power, your grace, and your relentless pursuit of our hearts. We stand in the midst of a valley. Some of us feel dry, some of us feel weary, some of us feel far from you. But we know that where your Spirit moves, life can rise from the dead. So we surrender our dry bones to you. We bring our brokenness, our doubts, our struggles, and we ask for your breath to fill us once again. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Breathe life into our hearts, our church, our family, and our city. Lord, we don't want to be a people who live in the shadows of what could be. We want to be a people who live in the light of your promise. We pray that you will fill us with boldness to speak your word, to declare life over the dry places, to speak hope in hopelessness, and to call forth revival in our generation. God, we recognize it is not by our might nor by our power, but by your Spirit alone that we can stand. So we ask you to infuse us with your Spirit, stir our hearts, awaken our faith, and empower us to rise as the army you have called us to be. For every weary heart here today, for every soul that feels cut off or defeated, we speak life in the name of Jesus. We declare that you are the resurrection and the life. Amen. Church, I invite you to come to the altar today. If you have dry bones in your weary soul, today is the day to ask God to breathe on them again. Revival starts right here in the individual. Today is the day to step forward in faith and in boldness and in His power. Amen. Let us stand as we sing.